Woman's Shir Shar HaBitachon, Sunday, if there are hiatus of a couple of weeks. I think it's the sixth Shir in Shar HaBitachon, but I may be wrong about that. It's Yud Adar, March 1st. Yud Adar, March 1st, Sunday, Shar HaBitachon for women. Okay, we're learning Chagas HaVavah Shar HaBitachon. We're in the Psicha, actually, the introduction to the Shar. We define Bitachon as... I like the word reliance because that's what it is. It's a verb. And we train ourselves to rely on Hashem. We're always relying on something. That's the yesod. That's really, if you remember that sentence, then you could key in on the meaning. If you realize that anything you do, you're relying on something. When you walked up the stairs here, you relied that the door wouldn't be locked. You relied that the electricity was working. You relied that Rabbi Milinowitz would be here. You rely, like anything we do, we're always relying on something. And so, bitachon is to train ourselves that there's really nothing worth relying on other than Hashem. And everything that we talk about, the bus schedule, the electricity and the light working, the delivery of milk to the makolet, the fact that the car is going to stop at the red light and therefore I could cross, or he's going to stop at because of the crosswalk and I could cross. Anything I do, I'm relying on Hashem to make things work, to make my body respond to my mind, to make sure that the delivery of milk was made to the makolet as it's normally supposed to be, to make sure that there's no breakdown in the buses, that the driver is not drunk, etc., etc., etc. We rely on Hashem. And the Shar doesn't really describe or explain bitachon as much as I just did. The Shar is a workbook to train us how to develop it, because it's very hard. Everything in the world mitigates against that it's Hashem doing it, because we don't see Hashem. And we see a world of cause and effect. Seeming cause and effect, right? So you say, why did I lose that money? Because I bought that stock and it went down. Why did, so we live in a world, you know, why did I injure my foot? Because I bumped into something. But that's not really the reason. But that's what we see and that's what our senses see. And that's why it's so hard. And that's why Shara Bitachon is teaching us to develop Bitachon. The Psicha is an advertisement. The Psicha says, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Bitachon is so great, and it builds your spiritual body in 12 ways. I don't know, whatever it is. Anyway, he has two lists. If anybody remembers the old Wonder Bread commercials, builds your body in 12 ways.
Yes.
Okay. I hope it was, we never ate Wonder Bread. I don't know if it was, I probably never had a Hechsher. But anyway, we shouldn't have been watching television either, right? Okay. Anyway, so he makes two lists. Chavis HaLovas, we're in the middle of the first list. Spiritual benefits and physical temporal benefits. And we're up to the fourth spiritual benefit. The first one was the way we defined it, very, very difficult. I said many times, it's the most difficult part of Shara Bitachon is this first benefit. I think most Mefarshim, I don't, it's not nice to say, or it sounds a little pompous, but most Mefarshim get it wrong, because it sounds like the Chavis HaLovas is saying, you will attain what you desire if you have Bitachon. That would not be a spiritual benefit, even if that's what he means, but it wouldn't be on the list of spiritual benefits, it would be on the list of temporal benefits. So, and anyway, why is it true? So we defined it that you're living with Hashem. You're in a very high madrega. You're not living in this. You're not living in a world where the bus driver is going to determine if you get safely to Yerushalayim. You're not living in a world where your boss is going to determine if you have money or not. You're living in a world where Hashem is determined. You mean it is like that? Again, as I am very fond of saying, bitachon is nothing more than hooking up to reality. And although when people want to be cynical, or they want to make fun of someone that exhibits bitachon, they say, come on, you gotta be practical. But if anyone believes in Hashem and understands, they understand that the only practical thing to do is to have bitachon, because Hashem is in charge of everything. So what's the point of relying on someone or something that's not really making the determination, if whatever you think is going to happen is going to happen? So it's actually pragmatic and realistic to have bitachon in Hashem. The trick is to believe in Hashem. And that's easier said than done, because we pay lip service to Hashem, but to actually feel that He is determining everything that happens to us is not easy. It's not easy, and it takes a lifetime of avoda. Anyway, the first spiritual benefit is that you feel like you're living with Hashem. You're walking with Hashem. He's on your side, and you're in a different world. You occupy like a different space, a different world than most people, unless the most people also come to the shiurim. Okay. The second spiritual benefit was that you're free to live your ideals and your principles. You're not afraid of what people will do you're not afraid of what people will say to you. You're not afraid of shiduchim. You're not afraid of not getting into the school you want to get into. You're not afraid of this, that, and the other thing. We're not talking about being crazy. We're talking about living up to your principles, living up and doing what you think is right, your avodas Hashem. And it doesn't mean walking in the street with a backwards on baseball cap and sneakers. That's not called doing what you want. That's unless you have a reason, unless it's Purim, and you want to get into the Simchas Hayom, so you're doing it for spiritual reasons. When we talk about living the life you want to lead in spiritual benefit number two, talking about ruchnius things, you're not afraid if you don't want to talk Lashon Hara, your boss is going to fire you for not being one of the chevra at work, which happens very, very often in the workplace. And there's a lot of problems of sneers in the workplace, and they will pass many times. Just the very idea of the atmosphere of conviviality and being friendly with men with women with men, even in from places, is a problem, and you have to figure out how to keep a distance without being unfriendly, mom. Anyway, but you're not afraid of being fired, you're not afraid of not getting the raise, you're not afraid of whatever. That's number two. It's a tremendous spiritual benefit. It's really, the whole Shar Yichud HaMaisa is devoted to that, to developing that trait of being able to do things only because it's Hashem's will, and not letting everything else in the world affect what you do. That's spiritual benefit number three, two. Spiritual benefit number three is that you're not stressed. He will say this mila, this quality, when he talks about the physical benefits too, because as any medical person will tell you, stress brings on illnesses, and stress is very, very unhealthy. But here he's talking about the spiritual benefit of not being stressed. You can daven with a clear heart. You can do mitzvahs with a clear heart. We didn't start the text yet today. I'm bringing everybody up to date in case they forgot that we're learning Shaar HaBitachon. You're not stressed, so you're free. Libo ponui la'avodas Hashem. People spend most of their people. It's all too often, all too common, that people spend their lives worrying, and they don't have time to live. And they don't have time to grow. They're worried. They scurry about dealing with their worries. So the Chavis HaLava says, that's a tremendous, it really is a tremendous, if you think about it, it's a tremendous spiritual benefit that you're not worried, you're not stressed, you're not anxious. You're optimistic. You're cool. You're like chilled. He then goes on, sort of on a tangent. He says, imagine the most unstressed person you can think of. And in his world, it's a counterfeiter. In his world, a counterfeiter was an alchemist, someone who can turn base metals into gold. Excuse me, Baruch HaTachim. And he goes through a list of 10 things, Again, when you learn the Sefer, it sounds like he's making promises. But no promises, no guarantees in life. That keeps life interesting. If there would be guarantees in life wouldn't be so interesting.
and our tehillim would not be dog-eared with all those pages folded over and wet with tears. But it sounds like he's guaranteeing, but I don't know, it's just his way of writing. He wants us to understand the scope of bitachon. So he says, take the most unstressed person that you can imagine, and he still has to worry about 10 things. And he actually goes through the 10 things. It's very practical. If you think about the things we'll be learning in the Chovos HaLevavos, if you can take some time in the day to think, which is not easy, you can turn off your MP3 player, turn off the music, think a little, turn off the shiurim you listen to, except if it's this one, and think a little. Think, and you say, yeah, you know, wow. He says, this counterfeiter, alchemist, needs raw materials. He needs something, right? And the Baal Bitachon doesn't need anything. There are unintended side effects and consequences to the alchemist. No such thing with Hashem. Hashem takes everything into account. There's no law of unintended consequences with Hashem. Number three is he has to keep it a secret. He's afraid of other people. Baal Bitachon is very proud of his Bitachon. Number four, he says, you know, you can be the richest person in the world, but you're not sure if you could keep your money liquid in case some great investment comes up and you need cash liquid, or then it can get stolen from you. So you should keep all your money in long-term CDs and earn the best possible interest. So he's nervous about what form the money should be in. Baal Bitachon doesn't worry. Baal Bitachon is not worried about such things. Hashem's taking care of everything. Number five is the alchemist. This time he's nervous. He has bad karma. He's doing something weird and strange, and like people look at him. He's a magician. He's a funny guy. And the Baal Bitachon is like Adarabba. He's social. Friendly, he's not afraid if people are going to do something to him. Number six is, he says, he's afraid of the authorities. Okay, no. Number six is health. Health. He doesn't necessarily, it can't help him if he's sick. Number seven is, he can't eat gold. Number eight is, he has to move around. Number nine is, he ain't getting Olam Haba out of being an alchemist. While part of Bitachon, which we'll learn about specifically, Be'ezus Hashem, when we get up to there, is part of Bitachon is I relying on Hashem that I will end up in a good place. If I live a good life, I don't have to be nervous and worried. Okay, we'll have to balance that against the natural. You have to take care that you don't do things wrong, but you can't be nervous about it. You have to be besimcha. You're relying on Hashem that he's not going to steer you wrong, and you'll end up in a good place, as I said. Anyway, then there's a 10th thing. Also, people look at him, they want to kill him. The point of these 10 things is really just an exercise in, you can make up your own list. Take the least stressed, we wouldn't think of it as an alchemist, someone with tons of money. Maybe we think of the least stressed person, I don't know, as a king. I don't know, so you make your own list. The king still has to be worried about A, B, C, D, E, and the Baal Bitachon doesn't have anything to be worried about. That's the point of his segue into this long, long list of what the alchemist has to be worried about. Probably the only person we can think of that's totally unstressed is someone, Rachmana Litzlan, you know, that's not well in the head. Really. He doesn't have any... There's a fella in Flatbush. My brother-in-law discovered him. It's like I don't know. The story is an amazing story, and I don't know the story exactly, so I'm not even going to bother saying it. Besides, there's no point to the story of how it happened. My brother-in-law, Oppenheimer, he discovered a long lost, like, fourth cousin or something. He discovered him in a group home. And he was like an imbecile, a shtickle, because his mother put him there. It's like a terrible story. His mother put him there at a young age because she thought there was something wrong with him. And he was there, and he was treated like an imbecile for decades. And he, like, became one, a shtickle. Anyway, my brother-in-law discovered him, and they have him over to the house every Shabbos. He eats by them. His name is Raja. And he's very dull, but he's definitely not, he's just dull. Never, like decades of being treated like, it's, anyway, so my brother, so, you know, he was getting better, and they talked to him, and they kid around with him, and he's a Yankee fan, and he's like, you know, he went yesterday to the bris. He walked all the way from East Flatbush to my son's bris because he's like part of the family.
But then he has a baby.
Simcha. But actually he's named after someone. Amazing coincidence. No such thing as coincidence. But you're born in Adar and it's right before Purim and he's named after someone named Simcha. Anyway, so he's talking to Roger once, my brother-in-law, and he's saying, you know, and he's in a group home. He's still in a group home. And they take them on trips and they, teach them little skills. So he says once, you know, Roger, you're doing okay. Maybe leave the group home, go off on your own, get a job. And like, he says, what am I, nuts? I'm in this place, they're taking care of me, they take me on trips, they give me food, they take care of me. Why in the world, like, I said, you know, he's smarter than we are. Anyway, that's a Baal Bitachon. He has no cares in the world, and he's thinking like, why in the world? If I, one Arab, one Shabbos Shuv, I talked about a movie called The Truman Show, I don't know if anybody, and the movie is a wonderful movie, even though the lesson of the movie is the opposite of what we'd want it to be. The point of the movie is that our lives, this person's life was totally controlled, as if ke'ilu kevayochol, someone is the Ribono Shel Olam, and the weather, and who he meets, and who he marries, and who he likes, and who his neighbors are, and if he gets stuck in a traffic jam or not, like everything is controlled by an outside force that he's unaware of. And then he breaks free. And the conflict in the movie is, so the point of the movie is that it was good that he broke free, because it's no good to be controlled. But when there was a confrontation between Truman, or whatever his name was, I don't know, Truman, I mean, I guess that's the name of the movie, The Truman Show. It's kedai to watch, Chas V'Shalom, of course, but it's kedai to watch, as long as you don't get, like, it's the wrong message, it's the opposite message, because you find yourself cheering for him when he breaks free, which is okay, because it's not really about Hashem, it's about this guy that put him in this situation. But when there's a confrontation, and he has to make that decision, does he break out? There's like a ladder, and it goes up to the dome. The guy says to him, why do you want to go outside for? Outside, things can happen to you. You're not going to be in control of your life. You think you're going to, you're not going to be in control. Here, we're taking care of you, and he's like hypnotizing him. He says, everything you need, we're taking care of. Nothing's going to happen to you unless we want it to. We mean you're good, because it was a television show and like the whole world's watching. So, and he's like, and then he breaks free and he goes out. But the truth is, that was the most beautiful description of bitachon I ever heard. Where kivayachol, we don't want to break free of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, imagine, like, he like spoke for 3 minutes, and it was like, It gave me the chills. Like, he's talking about bitachon, except he's not talking about Hashem, of course. But he's talking about, here you're secure, here everything's taken care of, nothing's going to happen to you unless we plan it out. Everything is like fitted with your life. Why do you want to go out there where you're going to be in chaos? You're going to be in chaos. You're going to be in anarchy. You're going to, like, here everything's planned and this. So in the movie, everybody starts cheering when he leaves because freedom, freedom, freedom. But the truth is, it's a beautiful description of bitachon, and that's what the Chavis HaLavas is saying here in spiritual benefit number 3. Like, I'm not worried about anything. I'm not nervous. I'm not worried. Hashem is taking care of me. Nothing's going to happen to me unless Hashem wants it to happen to me. And he means it for my good. And I have to just figure out how to respond, because I don't know
exactly what he wants from me. We don't have Nevi'im anymore, so I have to figure out how to respond. But I know it's for my good, and if I respond the right way, I'll be a better person than I was yesterday. So that's okay. So that's spiritual benefit number three. We're up to in the text spiritual benefit number four. Umitoelas habitachon b'Hashem b'inyan haTorah. He just means spiritual benefits because he's in the middle of giving this list of spiritual benefits. Ki abotach b'Hashem. He focuses on money now. He says, you know, there's two kinds of people in the world: people who have money and people who don't have money or don't have enough money. By the way, if you know the first kind, please tell me. He says. And it wears away at you. You don't know how to, you have nisyonos in life. He says, the Baal Bitachon has such a beautiful attitude towards money, towards either having money or not having money. His attitude is healthy. About the whole Sefer, I have said this many times, is like his paradigm, I might be using the wrong word, please don't laugh at me out loud. His paradigm of Gashmius is money. He's focused on money. He doesn't focus a lot on health or children or nachas or being married. You know, in those days they just threw two people together and they were married. That's all. it wasn't such an asik like now. But money. And the truth is our lives are consumed with money. Am I going to make it to the end of the week? Am I going to enter to the end of the month? Am I going to have enough money for my mortgage, for my rent, for food, to buy my children, get my children ballet lessons? I don't know, whatever you want. Money. So he says you have the right attitude towards money. Imu bal mamon, if he has it, yimaher lahotzi cholos olokim, he's going to be generous. The Shara Bitachon teaches you how to develop Bitachon. The psicha is only to tell you the benefits of having it, like an advertisement. The benefit is you will be a generous person with your money. You will spend the money on mitzvahs, on achnosos orchim, on stokah. Obviously, because you're not going to be worried about not having enough money. I will add to that, as a rabbi, you have to keep to the halachas of how much stokah to give. There are halachas about such things. And again, the main thing is not to be generous. The main thing is to do the will of Hashem, to be generous. So there are certain guidelines. But his point is, it doesn't hurt every time you give tzedakah. It doesn't hurt every time you do, do a chesed, but he's talking about money. It doesn't hurt every time you machnes orech. V'cholos b'nei adam mimamono b'nefesh chafetza. He has a willing heart for ruach nadiva, and he's generous. So if you have money, you have the right attitude. The menenu bal mamon, and if you don't have money, the bal bitachon, again, he doesn't explain why, because that comes later in the shar, what he's about to say, why it's true and how to develop it. Here he's just saying it as a maila. Yireh ki chisoran amomen tovo mitovos hamokom olov. He will thank Hashem, because everything is for his good. So he will feel good about not having money. So he'll say, what is the guy, nuts? No, from a spiritual viewpoint, says the Chavis HaLvavos B'Nation, Yastalku me'olav ha'chovos, shuchayib v'en le'lokim v'levne'odem ba'avuro. How does a rich person ever know he's giving enough tzedakah? One of the most frightening gemaras I've ever come across is a famous gemara in Ksubis, where the Tana, after the Churban, met Nagdiman Ben Gurion's granddaughter, and she was picking out of the garbage. She was picking out food from, it's worse than the garbage, but Adela lady saying, I won't say where she was picking out the food from. I'll just say it was organic. And and the Gemara goes on to say, like, what happened to all the money of Nagdiman Ben Gurion, one of the richest people in Yerushalayim? So one of the terutzim in the Gemara is he didn't give tzedakah. He didn't give tzedakah. And the Gemara says, and this is so scary. Gemara says he didn't give as much as he should have. He didn't give. Now, so the Chavis HaLvavos is making that point, sort of. I mean, without referring to the Gemara, of course. He's saying, how do you know you're doing enough? The poor person, you know, You give a shekel, you're like a sport. He doesn't have to worry, you know. So, and the rich person always has that worry. So he thanks Hashem for taking away that headache from him. Am I doing enough for yeshivas, for aniyim, for other needs of Klal Yisrael? And he thanks Hashem that he's not busy with his portfolio all day. He doesn't have a portfolio. He's happy if he could afford to buy bread and put some bread on the table, so to speak. He's not worried about his portfolio. You know, a rich person has stocks and bonds and CDs and investments. And nowadays, you know, Japan, you know, maybe he's in the stock market in Japan. So 24 hours a day, he's busy with the stock market. So a poor person, he has a cheerful attitude. There's a spiritual benefit. He has a good attitude towards not having a lot of money, not having even enough money. He's free of the burdens of the achrayus of what you're supposed to do with money when you have it. And he's free of pizur hanefesh, as he's about to say it's called, of being all over the place, of having to keep up with all the economic downturns and upturns and the Wall Street Journal and the Japanese stock market and Hong Kong. Oh, don't ask what's going on in Hong Kong, you know, in high tech. Hashem should save me from being scatterbrained, you know, that I'm busy, I have money on my head. Over Rosh Kol Kiria, I have money. Rosh Kol Nahar, Rosh Kol Kiria, everywhere, every country, I'm busy. I have a portfolio and I have investments in every country. So you worry about them. You worry about what's with your investment here. Maybe this manager is stealing from you. And the more you have, the more you worry. The Omer is there, Oshir HaSameach Pechelko. Vaboteach Bashem, Yasik Toelas Momen, he has what he needs. Ratzalom Parnasoso, Vitimona Mimenu Tirgus Machshava Shel Baal HaMomen, Vasmodus Dagosolo, he's free of the stress and of the worry of someone who has. Now, if you could be rich and be Sameach Pechelko and not worry, it's fine. Hashem made rich people also. The others were fabulously wealthy. There's no, like Tevye said, I realize it's no shame to be poor. I'm saying it's no shame to be rich either. It's not a shame if you can handle it. It's wonderful to be rich. You have to handle it properly. That's what he said about being rich. He will, the Baal Bitachon rich person will be generous and will give. He's talking about the mindset of each individual, what it could be. He's not even talking about what it should be, because that's more in the Shaar, when he's teaching us to have bitachon. Here he's describing the benefits of someone who already has it. So he's saying, you know, the usher is generous and free with his money, will write out a check without wincing and making a face. And the ani, he's happy, he doesn't have the headaches, he doesn't have someone knocking at the door five times a night. You know, if the three nights they see he's poor, they stop coming to his door, right? And he doesn't have to worry about that, and he doesn't have to worry about his portfolio. A worker, like a day laborer that lives hand to mouth, Masuka, he sleeps well. Whatever he has, he eats. He has enough. So that's spiritual benefit number four, is you have the right attitude towards money. And money consumes so much of our lives, and it affects the whole avira of our lives. And that's what he's saying. So that's a spiritual benefit. You're happy. You're chill. It's like an offshoot, really, of number three, which was not to be stressed. A little different, you know, he's piling up the benefits. Like I said, he wants to end up with 12 benefits of bitachon. I don't know however much he'll end up with. We'll count it afterwards. This was spiritual benefit number four, the right attitude towards money. Spiritual benefit number five. this is sort of like number four. It's like a different, here the Nakuda is not a question of having money and not having money, but his attitude towards money is correct, meaning he looks at himself as a shomer of Hashem's pikadon. It's not really my money, it's Hashem's money, and he doesn't want thanks if he gives tzedakah. You know, like, and number four, he's just talking about the right attitude
regarding, like,
the usher will give a lot of tzedakah. In number five, he's going a little deeper. He says, and he won't want thanks because he doesn't look at himself as the owner of the money. Number five is focused on having money, but having, feeling the right way about it. It doesn't go to your head. It doesn't, you don't demand thanks. Maybe you don't even demand a plaque. I'm stressing the word demand. The place can talk about it, you know. Chavis HaLovus' world throughout the Sefer is that the greatest thing is to do something anonymously. It's, you know, the post can recommend sometimes Dafka not doing things anonymously, so that maybe people will be jealous of you in a good kind of spiritual jealousy, and they'll also give it. You know, but if you're quiet about that, so no one will know how much it's possible for a person to give to tzedakah. So that's a shaila, and maybe you could ask a shaila if you're not sure how to act. Each way has a mila to it. The point of spiritual benefit number five is that you're a rich person won't, you know, in the Torah, when you're rich, it's bad news. Most of the time. Korach, Haman, you know, you imagine? The Medrash says, two people, their money made them crazy, and they were lost in this world and the next world. Haman and Korach. Imagine. Can you imagine that Haman? That's what the Medrash says. I mean, the Medrash says Haman was like, he got to where he was because of his immense arrogance, and he felt on top of the world, which is, I imagine, the way very rich people feel. At the top of the world, like, the world is their oyster, I think the expression is, maybe. They can do what they want. Number five is, wealth will not ruin the person. Four was, you'll have the right attitude towards having money, and the right attitude towards not having money. You'll be generous if you have money, and you'll be happy and satisfied if you don't have money. Number five is, being wealthy will not, you won't fall into the trap that's really described in the Torah of Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, or Yishomru Lachem Pen Yistel Avavchem Nesartem Va'avad Tem Elohim Achirim. Right? The Torah, history has shown that being poor is better spiritually than being rich, both for the individual, there's exceptions of course, I'm talking in general, and for Klal Yisrael. So he's saying you will not fall into that trap if you have bitachon. So if anybody's planning on winning a lottery, then they should quickly develop bitachon so that they don't fall into the trap. So maybe they'll take a win. Otherwise Hashem won't let you win. He's scared, like, what's going to happen to you. But if you say, Hashem, I have so much bitachon, it's going to be good. So who knows what will happen. Umehen, spiritual benefit number five. Ki abotach b'shem lo yimna enu rov hamomen mibtoach b'shem. His wealth will not prevent him from having bitachon in Hashem, meaning because he's going to rely on himself, and he's going to rely on his know-how, and he's going to rely on his wealth to push his way around. Power. Money is power. He can manipulate people, and he does. Because he's not relying on the money, he's relying on Hashem. So he's not... you fall into the trap that the Torah describes when you're relying on the money and you have a lot of it, so you forget Hashem. You're more apt to fall into the Kochi Votzim Yodi trap. But if he's not relying on the money, V'ubein of Kepikadon, it's Hashem, you know, he's an apotropos, he's a manager of this money. Kipikadon Suvo, who's commanded Lishtamesh Bo in certain ways, Alponim Yuchodim Ubinyonim Yuchodim, Lizman Kotsuv, very small amount of time. No one has all that money for more than
let's even call it 120 years. You know, so it's a very limited time that you're in charge of his money. It's a time deposit. It's not your money. You're gonna have it for a limited amount of time. V'miyasmit kiyumo etzlo. Who knows if it's gonna stay by you? Lo yivat ba'avuro. That's v'yishman yeshurin va'yivat. V'lo yazkir tovoso l'mishitziva losos l'mimenu. He won't demand Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov is the responsibility of whoever he helps out. But he won't demand Hakaras HaTov because he doesn't feel like it's his money. He won't demand recognition. He thanks Hashem that he was able to be a conduit for these good things that he's doing with his money. And he has chusim. So he thinks, well, Hashem, thank you for giving me money and enabling me to have all of these mitzvahs that people poorer than me can't have. Asher samo sibula tovoso, v'myovin amonu mimenu. Now he doesn't jump off the ledge when the stock market crashes, because it was never his money in the first place. Hashem took back the pikadon that he gave him. Okay, he took it back. Hashem nosom Hashem lokach. Lo yidag v'lo ye'ovel l'chesrono. Very strong with shyness. I mean, you know, I don't know if you're going to be sad at the normal reaction. He uses very specific words here. Lo yidag means to worry. You know, it's that guy's fault. He told me to invest here, and now I lost all the money, and you can kill the guy. And you look to blame somebody, and like, because you're that's lo yidag. V'lo ye'ovel l'chesrono. Obviously, you can be sad. Lo ye'ovel means like, you know, you're sitting shiva. You know, like you're mourning. It's only money. Hey, it's only money. So you stop at a certain point being sad. Avohu modeh l'Elokav. He thanks Hashem. This is hard. This sentence is like a toughie. He thanks Hashem, b'kachto pigdono me'ito, kasher hodo b'nisinosolo. He's as happy that Hashem took it from him as it is that Hashem gave it to him. Well, that's kind of hard. Maybe if you develop the benefit number four that we just talked about, so you can have benefit number five. V'yismach b'chelko, v'enum avakish hezek zuloso. He's not going to stamp on other people, which unfortunately many rich people do. If someone's in his way, he stomps on them. He's not looking for a scapegoat if he loses the money. V'lo yachmon odom b'mamono, Hashem protects him from people who cast eyes on his money. K'mo shomer hachochem, tzadik ochel l'sov v'nafsho. All of these things is benefit number five. Spiritual benefit number five. The money will not go to your head. So spiritual benefit number one is you're living with Hashem. Number two is you're free to live your ideals and principles. Number four is you're not stressed, leaving libo ponui lavodus Hashem. Number four is you will have the right attitude, whether you're rich or poor, your attitude towards Hashem will be fine. And number five is having wealth will not cause you to go off the derech, actually. By Yishman Yeshur and by Yivot will not cause you penny of the Levavchem, the Sart of Avad, the Temple of Machirim. So now, those are the spiritual benefits. We'll go weiter now, and we'll talk about the physical benefits. Now, the physical benefits are really all different forms of not to worry, not to be stressed. It just, you know, it breaks it up into different specificities. Ach toelos habitochem ba'olam, in this world, mehen menuchas halev. Again, this is a physical benefit. The stress brings on a lot of illnesses. Here you're not stressed, you have menuchas halev, you're not worried. Min adaygas olumios, v'hashalva minidnud hanefesh v'tzara, l'chosen tavos agufios. He throws that in also, that much of our stress is if we'll be able to acquire the things we want to acquire in Olam Hazeh. So if you lose that desire, you already lost a huge part of
the cause of your stress. L'chisorin ta'avoyos ta'avoseho ha'gufiyos v'hu behashkeit u'b'tochol u'b'shalva. But you're calm, again, you're smeach v'chelko. Hashem's going to give you whatever is good for you to have, whatever you need to have. You don't have taivis outside of the will of Hashem. V'hu behashkeit u'b'tochol u'b'shalva b'olam azeh. כמו שקוסו בורך הגבר שיבטח בהשם, והיה השם מבטחו, ואומר בו יוקי שעשו המוים, על יובל ישלח שרושב. So physical benefit number one is no stress, which is the cause for many illnesses. Physical benefit number two, now this to us sounds maybe a little, He talks about traveling. Now in the days of the Chayvus HaLavavus, if you had to travel to go to work, right, we're talking about, I don't even know what to say, like anything outside a radius of what to us would be not even a day trip, like a joke, was like amazingly difficult. Right? They didn't have modern means of transportation, they didn't have running water, then everything was like, you have to pack up, you have to go, it's like, so he talks about traveling to earn parnasa as something very debilitating. You know, nowadays, it just doesn't affect us the same. If it does, then what he says applies. I'm not trying to sugarcoat what he says. People do travel, right? They travel to Shalayim, they travel to America to be there 2 months, 2 weeks a month. I mean, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it renders you dysfunctional, if it makes your family dysfunctional, then you can't do it. Then you have to have bitachon that Hashem's going to send you parnosa here. And, you know, it doesn't mean we have to... We're going to learn the Chavos HaLavavos. We'll learn it next week. We'll pick up from here, Blinada. I think by Sunday I should be okay already. Mitzvah Hashem. It doesn't mean you look at everyone that even that travels to Tel Aviv every day and back as a, you know, not having bitachon. You know. But the truth is, if someone does that and then he tells me he doesn't have time to learn, and he comes home tired, and he has to have a marv without a minion, and he never sees his kids, only Shabbos, that's a problem. Then what we're about to learn does apply, and maybe you should have a little bitachon and not take such a job. By me, excuse me, I'm sorry. But me, in my mind, the key word is dysfunctional. You feel the woman has to take a job for the household. If she has to, she has to. Nowadays, I would even be a very modern rabbi, and I would say it's okay for her to take a job, even if she doesn't need it, the family doesn't need it to make ends meet. But she has, nowadays, women go out to work, and they have careers. No, that's nothing wrong with that. As long as A, the woman always is cognizant of the fact that her main career is to be at home and take care of the house and take care of the husband, take care of the kids. That's her main career. So if she could juggle, she can juggle. Nowadays, you know, there's a lot of modern conveniences and you can juggle a lot. So you have to be honest with yourself. But there's nothing wrong about some nowadays, I would say, with a woman having a career. It used to be maybe really weird. But now, I'm very comfortable saying nowadays it's acceptable and it's accepted and you do it. Ironically, the pervasiveness and kollel of yeshivish society actually made it totally acceptable for women to go to work. It's ironic because, you know, going back to a time when they didn't go out to work, but everything came together. A lot of people need a second job to make ends meet. Women feel like they need a career, or they get kvetchy, many women. So that's okay. As long as they remember what their main career is. That's right. Or if they become dysfunctional. See, once it becomes, a woman takes a job, I'm just giving an example, or a man takes a second job, it's the same thing. Once it renders you dysfunctional from your main purpose, then you're touching upon bitachon. Then you have to say to yourself, well, maybe this Chagos HaLulav, because Chagos HaLulav is going to talk about traveling. I'm saying, you know, we travel at the drop of a hat. You know, no one going to Tel Aviv every day and back to work, or even further than Tel Aviv, thinks about it, you know. So you could say, oh, nobody has bitachon. Well, I don't know. I want a job around the corner of my house. And I'll be talking, Hashem is going to send it to me. You know, if the person came to me, I would say that's not valid anymore nowadays. Unless going to Tel Aviv renders you dysfunctional. Meaning you have no time to learn, no time to see your kids. A woman has other manifestations of dysfunctionality. And then you have to worry. Then you have to say, well, maybe I have to have bitachon. Maybe I'm not having enough.